Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Thank you.
good evening, and welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. Let's take some time to pray. Father, my God, we just thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory, there is none like thee. Father, my God, when we think of the goodness of Jesus and all you've done, our very soul shouts, hallelujah. Praise God for saving us. Praise God for rescuing us. Praise God for delivering us. Father, my God, we're grateful. We're grateful for your goodness and mercies new every morning. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your peace. We're grateful for your joy. We're grateful for your help. We're grateful, Father, my God, that you intervene in situations and circumstance. We're grateful, Father, my God, that you surround us, you protect us. Lord Jesus, we are grateful, we're grateful. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Adonai, we praise your holy name. Jesus, we look to you where our help comes from. We look to you, Daddy. We look to you, Jesus. We look to you. We look unto you, the O Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We surrender everything to you. We say, have your way. Have your way. We dedicate this time into your hands. And we ask you to take full control. Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher, teach us. Teach us. Highlight the things that we need to take on board. Father, my God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to the program. We give God all the glory and praise for all he's done, doing, and yet to do. Because we're in the season of no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Now, I believe it started, you know, and I want you to all be expectant, you know, expectant of good news coming your way, expectant of the good news that started. Now, some of you might be looking around and say, I can't see anything good news happening. But I want you to imagine, as a thought just dropped into my heart and mind, that no one knows when conception happens. No one actually knows the very first moment it happens. No one knows. Not even the doctors. They do a rough guide, but they don't know when it happens. Only the Lord knows. So your miracle, you know, it says no mind can conceive. So your miracle is conceived in the mind of the Lord, but your mind can't conceive it. And if you look at conception, you don't know when it started. You know, you step out in faith and believe, but you don't know when it actually started, when everything started. And that's the thing with when we think of the no mind can conceive. We don't know when things start, but they start in Christ and he perfects it, and then he brings it to revelation, you know, at a point, and wants us to join and agree and run with it. I remember what comes to mind, is just dropped in my mind as well, is the prophet that was praying and praying for rain, and at point kept looking to skies, and then said no. He just started asking the servant, what do you see? What do you see? And then at a point, you know, the servant said, I see a cloud as small as a fist. It was so small, you just so tiny. Because if you hold your fist up and just imagine it in the sky, it'd be really tiny. something so small, and the prophet ran with that and ran with that and just didn't think, oh wait, I'm gonna wait until it's big enough to do the rainfall. Ran with that in faith. And I want some of you to capture that, to run with it in faith, believing in faith, believing that God is doing the work all by himself. God is doing the work all by himself. Now, last week we were talking about marriage, and we were talking about the being unified, the two becoming one. And we're going to go more into that, because we have to become one with the will of Christ. We have to become one with our spouse. So it's a process. And remember, I talked about how the relationship of Christ in Ephesians 5, it talks about Christ and the church is compared to a marriage. You know, as Christ loves the church, as Christ loves it, you know, submit as unto Christ. Everything is as compared and mirrored to that. And then I spoke about the parable of the brides waiting for the bridegroom, you know, and being ready. Being ready for the outcome, being believing, because yes, we can say the 10 foolish, but they're all, they, you know, we can look at it, they maybe they lacked the faith. So the faith they had didn't carry them to completion. The faith they had didn't, because remember, everything comes by faith. And it's a substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. So I want us to think of it, those brides that were waiting. They hadn't got maybe enough faith to believe for the outcome. And when we start on a journey, and I know sometimes we can be riddled with fear, but I want us, fear and faith is like oil and water, I was describing to someone. It doesn't kind of mix. So I want us to, instead of being riddled with fear, let us be riddled with faith. And to do that, we need to have people around us. And I'm reminded of that scripture where Moses was tired, because I believe sometimes when we're riddled with fear, is exhaustion, is your, you don't feel you have enough strength to stand. You know, remember the scripture says, in all else, stand. And sometimes we don't have that strength to stand. So I want us to gather people around us that will hold us up in prayer so we can stand. Because when there is fear, there's confusion comes in. Then doubt, then letting go of promises and questioning, did he really say that? And remember, that's what the serpent said to him. Did he really say that? So all those kind of questions and those things start rising up. And so we need to endeavor with surrounding ourselves with people that will keep us in faith, so we're not surrounded with fear. Now, some of you will be going, but I know it's easier said than done. That's why we need the people around us. That's why we need unity. That's why we need that. You know, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. Now, we need that. Even when you're standing with someone, we need that. We need that. Now, I'm going to go back to the marriage, but as everything is intertwined, because I want us to apply it in our lives. While you're waiting to be married, you're married, while you are, you know, you feel that you have not started the journey because you can't see the significant person, but I want us to apply these principles in our lives, because it does help us on our journey. Now, Philippians 2:1-7. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. That is unity. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus said. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. Wow. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. Wow. Now it says, I'm going to read verse 8. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. Wow. I don't know. There's some things you just say, I don't know what more to say. But we're going to. I'm going to see if I can have this in another translation. Okay, in the Passion, in the version I've read, it's unity through humility. Okay, remember we were talking last week about unity. We need to be united with our spouse, but we need to be united in one purpose. Even if you think about it in a bigger scale, in another scale, at work, if you're not united in your team, you can't fulfill the purpose of that team. All right? If at church, if you're not united, unity. Remember, it says unity commands a blessing. Commands. That, you know, if I want us to think of that, unity commands. It commands a blessing. So where there's unity, it's almost like draws down a blessing to that present situation. Where there's unity, it draws down a blessing. So what you believe in God for, if you're united with someone in that process of believing, it draws down that blessing. That is, you know, because sometimes we have scriptures, but I want us to see it through to the whole thing. Okay, before I go off in a different way, look at how much encouragement you're found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with his comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt his tender affection and mercy. So, I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity, with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled options, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your heart, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourself. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let his mindset become your motivation. Let his mindset become your motivation. You know, this is why people like the Passion Translation. It just gives a different dimension. Let his mindset. Wow. He existed in the form. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to form a lowly servant. He became human. How many of us want our own thoughts, ways? Being united sometimes is, I remember when I was growing up, they used to say stoop to conquer. Now, I know it's from a book that probably a lot of people don't know, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm just showing my age. But sometimes, as Pastor would say, seek to understand than to be understood. Seek to understand. And that humility is like, right, I'm going to put myself to the back foot, and I'm going to endeavor to press forward to try and understand where that person's coming from, than just insist on being understood, because it's for the greater purpose. We're going to take a break, because I want us to, we're not rushing this, we're not galloping, we're not in a race, and some of you might be thinking, what has this got to do with, we're journeying with Christ, okay? So we'll be back after the break.
Come on, lift your praise in this room right now. Come on, lift your sound of praise. Come on. My soul, you fill me to overflowing, Lord. You're beautiful, oh, oh. Lord. You're beautiful. Your goodness over. Satisfies my soul. You fill me to overflowing, Lord. You're beautiful, Lord. You're beautiful. Your goodness,
Your goodness,
Goodness overwhelms me. And to be honest with you, the goodness of the Lord is really, really overwhelming, you know. So we just need to ask God to help us. And Overwhelming, I know, is a form of fear, but we're looking at the overwhelming that is like, you know, because sometimes we say we feel overwhelmed when we're anxious or fearful, but this overwhelm is like you're so overcome with emotion that you think, wow, you can't believe it. You just can't believe it. So, okay. Now, we're talking about marriage. You're talking about so many different things. But, and we looked at Philippians, okay, 1 to 7, and we went to 8. And I read the translation, The Passion and Living, and I want us to bring it together with, you know, in a relationship, because some on the journey to marriage, some seeking to be married, in a relationship, and in marriage, for it to last the duration of time, we're not to make it about being happy, because happiness is about a happening. It's about what has happened, a situation, it makes you happy. Woo, you're just delighted. And when we base it on a happening, as you know, a happening comes and goes. You know, my father, God rest his soul, used to say, it's coming, it's coming, it's gone. I never understood. What do you mean it's gone? Why not it's here? Because you prepare for something, a happening, and then it's done. It's just, whoa, blink, missed it. And so if we base it on that, then once it's done, are we going to say that we're not happy? But we need to base a relationship, marriage, on wholeness. Remember the two becoming one? One being united in a purpose, becoming one. A oneness. If we look at a coin, pick up a coin that you have. I know they're rare, because sometimes we're so used to the plastic, but even your card, one side of your card has one way, looks one way, and the other side looks another way. Same with a coin, one side looks one way, another, and sometimes the writing is different on either side as well, but together it makes that card, together it makes the coin. So there's differences, but together it's whole, together it's doing up, it's fulfilling a purpose. Okay, so we want to, in our marriage, in our relationship to marriage, be looking for wholeness. Now in Matthew, you know, I don't know any of you remember Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, that's what went through my mind just now. Right, Matthew 6, verse 33. I'm going to do from 31. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans, who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. You know, some other versions say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All these things. No, some, they don't specify what these things, but anything that you need. Remember, in this version, Living Transversion says, He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That purpose. That purpose. What is that purpose? Okay. What are you aiming at? What are you looking at? That wholeness is found in the kingdom of God. Remember the relationship marriages compared to Christ and the church. It's not just because it sounded poetic, because it's endeavoring to show us that our relationship needs to have that closeness that Christ did with the church. You know, the bride being prepared for the bridegroom. You know, now some of you might be asking, the two becoming one, that concept. I've got my own money, he's got his own money, I've got my own job, he's got his own job, I've got that. Is that really important? Is that something of old times? What does that look like to us today? And you know, we need to go back to the very beginning of it all in Genesis. You know, he made man, then he brought woman out of man. Remember, we looked at that. So the purpose of marriage was a wholeness, because he took, remember, he in Genesis, he took the rib out of the man and made the woman. So the aspect of the man, you can look at it, he placed within and beautified it, added extras. So when it comes together, there's a wholeness, there's a richness that can be made. Now this richness is also compared to our relationship with Christ and the church. So it's not a case of a richness cannot be had, you know. And some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not married, what do you mean to say? No, it's that richness, because a marriage is compared to Christ and the church. It's not a case of you can't find a richness in Christ. There is a richness that is found in a marriage, but there's a richness that is found in Christ. There's an addition that Christ brings to our lives, and that is why it's so important for us to draw and be united with in the purpose that God has placed for us. You know, God has a purpose for you, and he starts us off on the journey for that purpose. And sometimes you think, I don't know what it is, but everything that happens is to fulfill something in your life. It's going towards it. And when I think of all the things that have happened in my life, it's like, I don't know. I didn't ask why me, but I wanted the strength to go through, you know. Because why not me? In some of these things, why not me? But as I look back, and I get to a certain stage and I look back, not in regret, but look back, I can see how God was directing my life. I can see it. And it's like, wow. It's just amazing. I find it amazing. So can you, if you look back to see, so we need to be united in his purpose, united with our purpose with Christ, and work with unity for what God is doing in our now. It is really, really important for this. Remember, it talks about in Mark, and I'm going to open it up. Mark 10 verse 8. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, since they are no longer two but one. I'm going to read from 5, you know. But Jesus responded, He wrote those instructions only as a concession to your hard-hearted wickedness. But God's plan was seen from the beginning of creation, for he made them male and female. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, since they are no longer two but one. Let no one separate them, for God has joined them together. Okay? So, as we are to be united in marriage, we need to be united and joined to the purpose of God. And I'm going to keep relating to it, because sometimes I still refer back to that passage. It's so poignant. Ephesians is so poignant. If we can only get that, our relationship with Christ, if we can't be united with Christ's purpose, how are we going to be united in a marriage? Just want to ask that, because when it talks about, you know, as Christ, you know, and the church, it relates aspects of marriage, Christ and the church. Christ's love was sacrificial, was not about, and remember we talked about that humility, that humility, you don't think of yourself, you think of what the other. How far are you with humility? Work in a team. Some of you might work in a team and you struggle with it. Ask God to teach you how to work in that team, because you're going to learn lessons of humility, of dying to self. Ask God to teach you. Sometimes when as I'm working and I'm there thinking, I don't get this, I just ask the Lord, explain. Sometimes the Lord will let me know, need to die more. You're feeling something, die more. Sometimes you give me an insight of, right, you know, seek to understand and to be understood. And that has really helped me. So even these concepts that we have, even what it says in scriptures, you can apply to teamwork. Now, if you work it without in isolation, you're not really, unless you're running your own business and it's you yourself and you're not communicating with anyone and you're just putting things online and that's it and you don't engage with anyone else. But those things are very few and far between, because even when people put things online, they want other people to engage with it, unless it's a bit like they feel a lot of aspects of point, they want to engage, they want that communication, we want that connection. You know, even if you're doing sales, you want someone to buy, there's that transaction that is required. So regardless, this works in so many levels. Now it says as well that, let me have a look, it talks about since they're no longer two but one. God to help us, really, God to help us on this journey. And I want those of you that married, I want you to keep that forefront, whether you need to write it and put it, since we are no longer two but one, since we're no longer two but one, you know, it will help, because it's a reminder to yourself that you see it, and then you then have to reflect on how to work through the process to get to that oneness, that unity. The Lord wants us at the beginning He said in Genesis about working together to become one. You know, yes, because of human hearts and complications and situations, but I want us not to just see this. It's very important in marriage, but I want us to see it in so many aspects of our lives. I don't know how I could work in a team if we didn't talk as one. You know, if we didn't try to be as one. Yes, people have opinions, etc., etc., but you know, if there wasn't a oneness, can you imagine? I just want to, this, because this came into my heart, mind. The producer here is producing the program. I'm speaking. And if we didn't work together and I didn't follow the instructions, chaos will ensue. You know, he might be telling me time to round up, and I'm there thinking, well, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to do my own thing. Then he has to make the decision to cut me off in mid-sentence because the time, all these kind of things. Or when I say it's time for a break, if he decides that, well, we're not going for break because you shouldn't have a break at this time. Can you see how it can become chaotic? And this is just, this is a working partnership, working together to produce something for a purpose of a program. This translates in every aspect of our lives, and I want us to bear that in mind, because sometimes we keep it in one aspect and we don't translate it to another. No, it translates in every aspect of our lives. So please bear that in mind. Everything that we do, we need to look at where you need to seek to understand, then to be understood. When you feel that your emotions are rising, whisper to yourself, I need to seek to understand. You know, when I was growing up, they used to say only the person wearing the shoe, translating and paraphrasing, knows how it's pinching them. My grandfather said, who feels it knows it. And I always used to look at him, huh? But the older I've gotten, these things are really, really so, like, whoa, it really has a depth. So I want us to look at it from, if everybody's sought to understand, there'll be so much more unity on so many levels. If we sought to understand, we would fulfill the purpose. You know, I talked about the coin. It will fulfill, if each side of the coin said, nah, I'm not doing that bit, it won't be united to be a coin. If the card decided, those of you that the card now decides that the internet is not working, and you know you need your card, you know, the internet to be working for your card to connect to the bank. You know, I was paying for something, and the people were, it was taking long to go through, and I was there, they said they were searching, the gadget was searching for the internet. You should see how they were waving the thing around the place just to get a connection. And I thought, in this day and age and season, but there had to be a connection. You could say a unification for the purpose of payment to be fulfilled. So there's a lot, and I'm just giving you different of examples there, so that you can, you know, get the idea. You know, in Ecclesiastes it says two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Imagine. Joshua 23:10, it says, each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord and your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be careful, to be very careful to love the Lord. So everyone puts 1,000, but another translation, another passage says, no, one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. It's a multiplication that we can't understand. there's more done when there's a unity. There's more done. So I want us to bear that in mind. We're fast approaching the end of the program. I don't even know if I've done a quarter of what I wanted to say, but I'm hoping you get the idea. And this is not, even though we're talking about marriage, I want you to look, because I really want you to grab hold of the vision, be united in what Christ has purpose has for you. Be united in it, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Your mind can't conceive what God has in store. So even sometimes when my mind goes on an imagination and I realize, wow, I've thought of that, but what it can end up to be, wow, is like, I can't conceive that. I just need to walk the journey of faith and know that what will transpire is beyond my imagination. Now, we're having a Starbright event on the 1st of November, and it's going to be at our usual place in Manchester. And I want you to go to Eventbrite and get your tickets, okay? And you're going to see something special there. But get your tickets, because we're going to be talking about faith for this season. Faith for this season. And I need you to stretch your faith in this season and just fix your eyes on the one. We've come fast to the end. Before, you know, I said I want to work together with the producer. I don't want to be doing randomness. So we're going to work together with the producer. Let us pray. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We worship you, adore you. Thank you for all that you've been doing. Thank you for traveling, you know, up and down. There's been quite a few bus strikes. So thank you for, you know, transportation that people have been able to use. And we just give you all the glory. We commit everything into your hands. We thank you for teaching us the things that need to be highlighted to us. Bring them out in our minds so that we learn from it and grow and develop. Father, my God, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next week, have a blessed, wonderful, glorious, fantastic week. And bye for now.
Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
Come on, let's sing this all together. Say,
and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to.
Come on and lift up your voice.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want. To do whatever you want. To do whatever you want.
Come on, Calvary, let's sing this all together. Sing. up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your hands and say, Jesus, have your way. Lift up your hands and say, Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Have your way in this place. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, break the chains. Heal the sick. Do what you want to do. Manifest yourself today. Come on, let's sing this all together.
Shake up the ground of all my traditions.
Whatever you want,
oh, and I will make.